Hello, everyone. It's episode 56 of This Week in Testing. Welcome and thank you for stopping by today. If you are listening to this live, welcome to our audience and thank you for those who are joining us. And if you're coming back to this on the podcast, also hello. I hope you are. So for those unfamiliar with This Week in Testing, here's what we do. So myself, as community lead here at Ministry of Testing, I'll do a bit of a debrief on the week. So we will look at some of the things that have been happening in the community, celebrate some of the cool things that certain community members have been up to. And then, yeah, after that, we'll invite you up on stage. We'll have a good old conversation, see how your week's been, what you've been up to, what things have been on your mind, what things you've been testing, what you've learned this week, perhaps, or maybe you want to come up on stage and celebrate someone in the community. Today's the opportunity to do that. And I encourage folks who have not been on stage before to go for it a little bit later on. Please do feel like, or hopefully you'll feel like this is a welcoming session for people to get involved. We do have a code of conduct as well. If people do come up on stage, you can find that on ministryoftesting.com. Head to the footer and look for the word conduct. So please do respect our code of conduct if you join the stage. Right then, folks, well, let's dive on in. I'm going to do a bit of a debrief for the next 10 minutes or so. So let's see what's been happening. Oh, yeah. So for those familiar with an event that we run, so the start of this year, we have put out a cool half-day online event called The Testing Planet. Now, we have just recently announced a special edition that's happening in September, and it's a Test Bash special. So Test Bash is our in-person conference that's happening in the middle of September. And for those who can't make it, and indeed for those who do attend it in person, this Test Bash special is for you. We're going to get everyone together online for half a day. We're going to have sessions where we reflect on what we learned during the conference, share some of the key takeaways, perhaps discuss some things that people have tried since they've gone back to their workplace. So definitely worth checking out and signing up for that. It's open to all, and it's all online. Do head over to our events page, ministryoftesting.com/events, and look for episode 5 Test Bash special. Very cool indeed. And just as a reminder, that This Week in Testing is also available as a podcast. So do come back to this if there's some things that are shared that perhaps you miss. And it was cool to see that Pam Bafour joined recently, and Pam put out a bit of a write-up about their experience of listening in on an episode where we were discussing the pesticide paradox and CrowdStrike. So yeah, thank you, Pam, for sharing that, your reflections and some extra thoughts. So yeah, folks, if you're not following Pam Bafour, please do check out their profile. Again, I'll include a link to all of the things that I share in our weekly newsletter. So you can get access to that via ministryoftesting.com/newsletter. If you subscribe, we aim to send that out most Mondays as an email, and then we publish it on our site. And also, if you subscribe to the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page, there's a newsletter option there. So we put it out there. So I'll be sharing links to everything that I share today in that newsletter. It was good to see Ben Doan, who's a regular here at This Week in Testing, taking some time off work. We spotted a picture of Ben hanging out by the seaside. It made us think of Test Bash, given that it's being hosted in Brighton, which is by the seaside as well. So Ben was getting his practice in for the seaside existence, which is very cool. So nice one, Ben. We do hope you're having a wonderful break and well-deserved. I also spotted that Karen Todd has shared her last installment in a series of blogs about her recent move from the United States to the Netherlands. Definitely worth checking out. Karen is very open about her journey and the challenges that she's faced and how it's helped her. So yeah, do go check that out if you're not following Karen. She does have a YouTube channel called Karen Test Stuff. So do go check that out. I also saw that Lissy Hocker was sharing an update about her Contribute in New Ways challenge. So this is something that Lissy set at the start of this year. Her goal was to contribute in ways that she's not contributed to the community before. So again, go check out Lissy's blog Perhaps you can connect with her on LinkedIn and find a link to her blog there. It's worth checking out. Okay, I spotted a couple of career moves. So congratulations to Letu Mdia. They have been promoted to a junior software tester at Acumen Software. Wonderful. Very, very cool. So I see that Lelutu is very new to their career in software testing, going from like an apprentice role to getting the junior software tester role. So congratulations there. I also saw that Abhishek Shukla starts a new position as a quality analyst at Opash Software. So bug, congrats, Abhishek. Very cool indeed. So yeah, we wish you well on those roles. So if you are open to work, please do tag the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page and share that you are open to work, and we will repost it to our network of roughly 100,000 followers. So we put it out there. Our network is your network. And there's a few folks that have done that recently. So Ash Winter, an absolutely wonderful software testing professional who has contributed so much to the testing and quality engineering space and community. Ash is looking for his next gig. Definitely check out Ash. Very much, he comes highly recommended. As does Jenna Charlton. They are open to work. Jenna is a wonderful part of the MOT community, host and contributor. They are worth connecting with if you aren't connected with them already. So do go check out Jenna Charlton. We saw that very kindly, Judy Mosley tagged Christopher Zuch to say they are looking for work, as is Subhan Razak, Igor Trifunovich, George Ponachako, and Ujal Mondal. Again, if you look at the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page, you'll see that we've reposted the open to work requests, and I'll also include those details in the newsletter that's coming out on Monday. So please do share with your network and help others find their next opportunity. And if indeed you're hiring, please do check out their profiles and see if they might be in a position to help you with your goals. So I've noticed that I've made a note of some three companies here that are hiring at the moment. So you could work along Stephen Mark Smith, who's been active on the club, which is our forum, club.ministryoftesting.com. So Stephen Mark Smith works at Searchlight Cyber, and they are hiring a junior QA engineer. So go check that out if you can find Stephen Mark Smith on LinkedIn. Kashif Salem is hiring two senior mobile estets in either India or Indonesia and Singapore as part of The Economist. Sounds like a cool couple of roles there, Kashif. There's also a QA internship role in a games testing environment by Zynga. So yeah, do go check out zynga.com. Their job listings. They have a QA internship game studio opportunity available there. Great. So a couple more minutes, a few more things to share before I open things up to the audience. Well, we are very, very excited to announce that we have launched the Ministry of Testing Software Testing Essentials Certificate, and it's now available to purchase at a discounted rate. This is very exciting. So I kind of maybe given some sneak previews to this on previous episodes of This Week in Testing, when maybe I shouldn't have, but hey, what the heck, but it's now official. It is live, and oh my goodness me, this is very exciting. So this course is perfect for anyone looking to jump into their software testing career and gain confidence. It is designed and built by experienced testers in our community. And it's cool, right? Because it covers everything from the basics of testing, like maybe, I don't know, understanding how to test an input field, to advanced techniques such as performing risk analysis to uncover potential issues. So starting in mid-October 2024, modules will be released gradually, and early access purchases can get a head start and access to all at a discounted rate. This is a great opportunity to begin your journey and learn at your own pace. So do head over to ministryoftesting.com. If you scroll down towards the bottom of the homepage, look for certifications. You'll see a link to the Ministry of Testing Software Testing Essentials Certificate. So yeah, it's very exciting. I had a sneak peek at one of the lessons the other day as part of the as part of reviewing these lessons. So it was A Brief History of Testing by Beth Marshall, and it is amazing. I was like, this is so cool. I can't wait for people to even just see this one lesson, because it just gets you so excited about the opportunity, you know, for those folks who are new to software testing or perhaps need a refresher, or maybe you are a manager and you're thinking, oh yeah, I need to give my team some more foundational stuff. This is the one for them. So yeah, do go check it out. A couple more things. I noticed a good post from Cassandra H. Leong reminding us to stop fighting, start uniting, and work together towards your shared goal. In response to, there is no manual versus automated testing conflict. So yeah, really good reminder there, Cassandra, and thank you for sharing that. Do go check out Cassandra H. Leong's blog. They are writing some really good things right now. So do go check out Cassandra's writing. It was cool to see Manish Sani, who does a lot of writing, post 5 mistakes I made as a tester, so you don't have to. It was really open and honest, and I thought that was really cool, and I think useful for those who are new to the world of software testing to go check out. Righty. Okay, folks, well, I think it's now is a good time to invite people up on stage. So as a reminder, here's how it works. You can put your hand up. There is an option available, whether you're on your desktop browser or you're on the mobile app. I'll see a little notification appear on my screen. I'll invite you up on stage, and then I'll just ask you how your week's been, and we go from there. So maybe you have a question for the community. Maybe you have something cool that you've done this week that you'd like to share, or maybe there's someone in the community that you want to give a shout out to and say thank you or share something positive about that person. Now is the opportunity to do it. So I'm going to put myself on mute, quickly grab a sip of my cup of tea, and then bring people up on stage. Okay, well, no takers right now, but that's absolutely fine. Perhaps I can share a few more things that we've spotted. I see that Ashutosh, lovely stuff. Ashutosh has put their hand up. Thanks, Ashutosh. I'm going to bring you up on stage right now. Hey, Ashutosh. Very good to see you again, and thanks for joining the stage. How's your week been?
It's been amazing. I have been the last whole week been pairing for some customer-faced people, customer service people, and even the head of customer service. So I just wanted to share out with people, are they pairing with issues which their counterparts in different departments work? How are their experiences? Are they able to solve any issues for them? Bring up some quick things which can be, you know, help them in doing whatever work they are doing in a better way and faster way, maybe. So yeah,
love it.
what do folks think about this?
That's a great question, and I'd love to dig into that process a little bit more, Ashutosh. So what was the kind of motivation to connect with your customer service people? What was like the you know what, I really need to pair with these people and do that, and then after that, perhaps we can dive into that process, what it looked like, what the pairing experience was like, what questions you were asking, what you discovered.
Yes, definitely. Mainly because the production had some issues which were not reproducible in the lower environments. One of the issues or the motivation was this. And if we think about the ways in which they were recreating these scenarios on a lower environment, which was produced in production, they were making way too much time, they were taking too much time, or sometimes they even did not know, because what we are doing for creating production data is totally different from the person who is, you know, using lower environments to create some data, or the contracts or the application usages that we have. So it, for them, it takes almost an hour to create, let's say, to create some sort of data with particular details. And I had been already doing that. And instantly we clicked on this part that I can create more such things for you guys, and how other ways there are. For example, some backend engine is having issues, and sometimes a Kubernetes pod is breaking down, and then they don't understand in particular that where should they go. So I identified that we can put some checks there, and they can then identify that if they are getting this kind of error. A little more documentation also helped here, that if they are getting this kind of error, then this particular Kubernetes pod is down, and then they can approach that particular person who's who's responsible for getting it up, or what's the first response for such a thing happening. And these things happen quite rarely, I would say, not that frequently. So this has happened before, and I guess they were just, you know, reinventing the wheel every time. So it was best that we documented these discussions eventually. So yes, this was my experience with customer folks.
Amazing. It sounds like all interested parties benefited from that conversation, that pairing experience. Like, it feels like, you know, from the different parts of the business, like light bulb moments are like, oh, I didn't realize we could do that. Or actually, I didn't realize you did that. And then kind of finding ways to improve that. That's really cool.
And it all started with me being in a meeting where people saying that they are having issues. And initially, it felt like it's not my place to dig into it. But yes, I just messaged those people that, yes, are you fine with me checking out what can be done here? And then, yes, it led to good results.
And that's a really interesting point, Ashutosh. I can certainly reflect on moments in my career where you're kind of like, you know, you're given your responsibilities and this is your boundary and you can't go kind of past certain places or speak to certain people, just the way, you know, companies are set up and, you know, time pressure and you got to focus and you can't prioritize stuff. Yeah, I think, isn't it cool when you kind of perhaps go beyond that and you're able to find that time to kind of not break the rules, but kind of break your remit, so to speak, to then connect with people who are better connected with the customers to learn something from them and help them out in the process. I think that's really cool when that happens.
Definitely, yes.
Excellent.
Other things, apart from this, I had been from past 2 weeks also working on a few things that we have very less end-to-end web UI-based tests, which I moved from Selenium to Selenide. And it's working fine. It's in a way better for me. So if anyone else tried Selenide, let me know, because this is the first time that I've tried it. And it's quite less work to work in Selenide. So yes.
Oh, interesting. Well, that feels like maybe a good topic to start on the club. Like, maybe you could share some of your experiences, maybe some of the challenges from moving from Selenium to Selenide. And then perhaps some advice and tips, and then see what else other folks have done. That's very cool. Nice.
Sure.
Well, Ashutosh, I see that Manish and Isaren both have their hands up. So I'm going to bring Manish up onto stage. But yeah, do stick around. Please do stick around and continue to be part of the conversation on here. But Manish, let's bring you up on stage. Hey there, Manish.
Good morning and happy Friday. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Happy Friday. I can hear you loud and clear, Manish. So how's your week in testing been?
My week has been very interesting. So we have been as a company. So we have been redoing or revamping or rethinking the way we want to approach marketing in our organization. So we have been redoing all the existing applications that we had, and then as part of it, like there were a few things that we did for the very first time. So that actually gave us a lot of how do I put it. A leverage or better, like it gave us a lot of insights on what we are doing and then where were we going wrong. So as one of the things that we did was adding observability on all of our applications, so that any applications that we are pushing into production so we are adding observability on it. So be it the synthetic check, so the tool that we use is New Relic. So we have added synthetic checks where you can basically have it as a scripted API. I mean, we have added different layers. So we have some very basic ping tests, which are basically a HTTP request. And then we have some scripted APIs. We have some scripted UIs, UI tests that we have added. Since our applications are for different zones or different areas, so we have added these tests to run on different locations. I mean, you can basically choose different locations where you want these tests to be run. It can be North America, Asia, Europe, any part of the world. So they have some predefined locales that you can run these tests against. So that was pretty cool to see how your application performs in different zones, and then what time does it take, how long does it take to load these pages. So that was a very good thing that we did. I mean, it was very interesting to put everything in place. And then now you can visualize it in real time on how your applications perform in different zones. So that was one thing which we did, was really cool. And then just resonating on what Ashutosh was mentioning regarding test data. So something very interesting happened this week. So when you work on an organization and then there's this UX or UI design team, which basically comes up with designs for various marketing applications that you want to push into the market, right? So they have some very predefined structure on how this should look. So what we basically did is I went ahead and then created different sets of test data. I mean, this is from my personal experience where I think as a QA, you can bring value to the team is creating different sets of test data, which you think might help in breaking the system. Like, I mean, the design team, they kind of give you a basic template on how this application should look in real time. But if you just go by it, then you won't uncover or discover anything. So what I did is I tried to play around with different components that we have on these pages, be it ads or be the different components we want the end users to interact with. So when you basically, what we tried is like, we try to change the we try to organize them in a different way rather than what the design team has given us. So this simple change on using, say, if a certain page has got 4 or 5 different components and they lay it like component 1 through 5 in a sequential order, and then if we change the sequence of it, it was kind of breaking the application because the schema that the API or the UI was expecting was not the same that it was returning, right? So that actually gave us good insights on how different components should interact with each other. And then at any point of time, if there is a change in the sequence, the application should not be breaking and it should be rendering as it should. So those were some very good insights that we had over this week.
Wow, Manish. It sounds like you and your teams have achieved lots. So yeah, congrats on that. That's very, very cool. Always good to hear how some tooling can support things and give you a lot more information to help you make better decisions. And yeah, nice one on the taking like test designs and then kind of thinking in terms of test data. I think when you were talking about moving things in different orders, I was thinking of like the sequence heuristic, which then made me think about the heuristics cheat sheet that we have here at Ministry of Testing that we've got published, that kind of evolved the original heuristics cheat sheet by Elizabeth Hendrickson. So yeah, folks are unfamiliar with that. It's worth checking out. If you just search for heuristics, test heuristics cheat sheet, you can just Google that or search for it on ministryoftesting.com. Just a really good page with prompts to help people come up with test ideas. And I know, you know, folks are heavily relying on using GPT tooling to help them come up with test ideas and stuff. Yeah, nothing quite beats having a look at a heuristics cheat sheet and then reminding yourselves of all these different heuristics available, such as CRUD, Goldilocks, Sequence, Zero One Menu, and the rest, right? There's so many good ones out there to prompt you to come up with test ideas. So yeah, thanks for sharing, Manish. Very cool.
Yep. And just to add to it, the New Relic has got one more feature, which is called, you can add checks on some SLAs as well, as in say, if you have a certain API running, then you can basically add an SLA saying, okay, if my test fail 19, less than, if my tests do not pass 99% of the times, you can basically generate New Relic or Victrop alerts. So that basically generates alerts and then sends, you can integrate their email or your email, mobile phone, and then it sends out those alerts right to your phone, initially as a text message, and then it continuously keeps on calling you until you pick up the call and acknowledge that incident. So this was pretty cool. The integration was seamless.
Very cool. And what kind of, because you mentioned about at the start, you're kind of revisiting your ways you approach marketing. So as part of this process, have you had to work closely with a marketing team, or do you have like a business analyst or product manager, product owner, who's the interface between you and the people who are part of marketing?
I'm glad you asked this question. So we initially had, my company, my organization, they had some set of pages, brand pages, products, segments, all these different pages that they were developed in the past, but then they were not generating enough leads or page views that they were expecting. So they went back to the drawing board to see what was going wrong. So this is the time when I was invited. I being the QA lead on the team, so I was invited to the team to that meeting. So where I said, like, I asked them, like, see, when a story comes to our sprint, so that's when I understand what's happening, but I don't know what's happening before that or after that. So I asked them, like, if they can include at least one QA in these meetings, so that'll give us a basic understanding of the end-to-end flow. So that's when we started getting involved with all the meetings with the marketing ops, be it the technical SEO team or the paid advertisement team. So we got involved in all of these different meetings. So now we understand, okay, so where a certain request originates and how it originates, and then how does it get into fruition by going through all these different flows. So yeah, so that was one thing that we did, and it is actually helping us interacting with all these different teams that are into it. And then in this process, we learned a lot, from the technical SEO point of view, from the marketing ops point of view. So how a certain page should look like, and then what are the different SEO things that you need to look into a page when you're publishing it, before you're publishing it. So yeah, it was cool to get to know all these different things.
That's brilliant. And then kind of like, calling on that subject matter expertise from the colleagues who are, right there, their marketing ops people, technical SEO, paid for advertising team, let's assume they know their stuff. So they can kind of influence how we create our test ideas. So yeah, good on you for pushing to being part of those meetings and not kind of being so isolated and kind of just doing the thing in your sprint and then like whatever, don't know what happens next or before. That's powerful stuff. And no doubt for those colleagues that you're working with who perhaps aren't in the technical nitty-gritty of things, for them to appreciate the effort it takes to deliver software, to deliver high quality software and what it entails. My assumption is it would help them kind of go, okay, I get it now. Like, it's not just as straightforward as like, yeah, you build this thing and then you ship it. It's a lot more stuff that goes into it. So I think, yeah, those kind of conversations with subject matter experts, and indeed like to Ashutosh's story earlier on about pairing with customer service, I think it goes a long way. And I think it's important as a profession that we continue to connect with people who are really an interface to our customers. I think it's so important.
Right. You're right on point there. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing, Manish. Please do stick around. I'm going to bring Isren up on stage. It's good to see Isren again. So let's press the magic button and then let's hope for the technology to work. Isren, welcome. It's good to see you again.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, everyone. Good day.
Good day. And yeah, how's your week been?
Busy testing and other activities. But I want to talk about hackers and phishing. You know, this week I had an experience. I saw it's like on my mobile phone to click a button, and that was it. You know, after clicking it, automatically an account, an app, two apps actually was, you know, downloaded immediately. And I was happy that I was able to see this immediately and try to as much to delete it. And, you know, if I didn't mean I followed the flow, probably I would have lost some of my funds in my account. But what I want to, you know, draw attention to as QA testers was a bank in my country here that was hacked. It's all about, you know, the domain. When the company, is it their license or certificate get expired, you're about to renew it. It was within that period that the hacker, you know, take charge of that bank's domain and thereby collecting customer data and so on and so forth. You know, at the moment, the company I'm working with, a bank I'm working with, is about to go for a major, how will I call it now, a major deployment, major change with all applications. And I'm a bit skeptical, you know, because I know the hackers are out there waiting for our products to go live such that they will try their hands on it. So we as QA testers, we should as much as possible get hands-on experience on security testing and pen testing. And that is one of the areas I really want to, you know, increase my knowledge on. That's just what I want to say. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing, Isran. And I'm sorry you were on the receiving end of a phishing attempt, and good on you for spotting it. It's just, I think, you know, it makes me think it's unfortunate for folks who perhaps aren't aware of these schemes and these criminals and hackers, you know, who are bad hackers, who get caught out in it. And that's just rubbish, right? That's unfortunate that does happen to a lot of people. And yeah, and great reminder to all of us that we have a responsibility and to, you know, at the very least, have awareness of the different types of ways that people can manipulate humans and the software that they use. I guess, you know, there are a good number of security testing folks in the community that I could think of that are worth perhaps following some of their content and connecting with. I would say Dan Billing is a very good security tester. We've got a few others that will come to mind, and I will look up their details and perhaps I can share them in our newsletter. It also makes me think that we are, I don't know, can I reveal this? Yeah, I can reveal this, that we are in the process of building out an on-demand course for getting started with security testing. So I don't have a launch date yet, but I know we have got that in the works. So that is going to be something for folks who are new to security testing to consider at some point in the future. So that's one to watch. And that's the sort of course that will be available for anyone who has a professional membership with Ministry of Testing. But we're working with an awesome person in the community to build out that course. So yeah, thanks for sharing, Isran. Yeah, good to hear from you. So folks, is there anything else on your mind? Ashutosh, you've unmuted. Please do go ahead.
Yes, so I would like to add a few things here that since I've worked for a mobile app and a few things that in general that can be done for sure is making your API secure, and whenever there is an authentication happening, you are checking the logs that anything which is kind of sensitive data is encrypted while it is being sent through the service. And some APIs not being open. For example, let's say you have a groceries app and you have username slash order slash one, and it should be tokenized to users, even in the sense that it's if I remove my username to your username, so I should not have access to it. So this is so generic that this happened to an app in Germany a few years back, and it was accessible to people. Like, I can check your orders too. This is kind of, if you can find out about this, this happened to Postman even. That, let's say I have Ashutosh slash connections, sorry, collections slash whatever. So if I know your username, then I can also check your collections. I can hit that Postman API, and it was kind of, it was in tech news, I would say, at least a year or two back. So yes, simple things which can make your user, your APIs, a little bit of encryption, specifically very basic ones, at least for the username, passwords, and things like this should help. But yes, for in depth pen testing, penetration, and devising into hackers' mindsets, it's a particular job, and you should have proper knowledge about it, which I'm afraid I have not done that particularly. But yes, even when you're checking an API, the policies like course policy, who can hit this API, which is the source, which could be the source of this particular API. For example, the payment API should not be open to be hit by anyone, but there should be a particular source for it, and things like this should but they also come into API security kind of things. So I'm maybe going towards API security a lot. But yes, at the end of the day, your app is consuming some backend APIs, which are prone to hacking, because a hacker gets into your app or downloads it and checks the logs, basically. And the best ways to hack into your app or phones. But then, yes, phone hacking is, again, a different ballgame. So, yeah, that's my input for this.
Wow. Thanks for sharing, Ashutosh. That's definitely given the audience some things to think about, if not on their radar already. I've also noticed that we do have a collection available on ministryoftesting.com. So AJ Wilson, who's part of the team, has created the community's guide to security testing. So there's 32 items on it. Wow, I didn't know we had as much stuff as we do. That's wonderful. So the likes of Dan Billing, who I've mentioned, Richard Adams, Saskia Copeland's. Oh, Saskia's amazing. She's like, that's her day job. Anne O'Karinen, Mary Gilmartin, Kate Polk, Bill Matthews. Ah, there's a whole load of good stuff from a lot of very good people who do know their stuff. So yeah, do, if you head over to ministryoftesting.com, if you are interested to check out that collection, scroll down to the bottom, there's a link called collections, and then type in, if you just type in security testing, it should come up in your search. And yeah, do go check out those things if indeed you are new to the world of security testing, or if indeed you've got some experience and maybe there's some things on there that might not be on your radar, or there'd be a good refresher. So yeah, all things security, cybersecurity, and penetration testing. Do go check it out. Wonderful. Cool. Well, let's take a little breather, and perhaps we open it up to others who are listening today. Maybe this is your first time at This Week in Testing. Maybe, or hopefully by now, you got a bit of a vibe as to the sort of things we can discuss. We don't have to continue with the topics we've been discussing already. We could start a new one. We do have another 15 or so minutes to go. Maybe you want to introduce yourselves and just say hello and say hi to the community, and then drop back off back into the audience. You are more than welcome to do that. Or maybe you've got a question that you want to ask some of the folks that are up on stage. So maybe you have a question for Manish, Ashutosh, or Izaren. Now's the time to do it.
Violet, someone is, you know, thinking of coming up. I always have a feeling to report something. So from the tech news, few of you might be already knowing that I'm a fan of Bruno, which is kind of trying to replace Postman, or is the local API collection friend of yours for test automation. They were quoted in ThoughtWorks charts for as a try or initial level of try kind of tools. I think they have quadrants or gradients or something that this tool is under their radar of in trial process or basically, but they named it, so which is kind of a win for the tool, which is like open source and coming up in dev and test communities.
Wow, appreciate the update, Ashutosh. Oh, Manish, yeah, jump on in.
I mean, just to add to what Ashutosh has mentioned, so I've been a big Postman user for many years now, but lately I've been migrating to Insomnia. Not sure if many people have heard about it or not, but Insomnia is again a very good API testing tool that you can use. The biggest capability that Insomnia has is the filtering mechanism. You can basically filter your response only to the objects that you want. So yeah, that has been a game changer for us. I mean, you have all these big JSONs that JSON responses that you get back, and then for you to traverse through all of these, it takes time. So Insomnia has this filtering mechanism where you can only filter out whatever you require. I mean, that's a good feature.
Ah, nice, Manish. You know what? Insomnia wasn't on my radar, so I'm going to check that one out after this call. And perhaps there's more Insomnia users out there can share their experiences. Again, I encourage anyone, if you've got experience with tooling and you want to share your tips and advice and some of the challenges that you've overcome, to post on the club. Feel free to do that. It's available to everyone. club.ministryoftesting.com. It's a wonderful forum with a good bunch of testing professionals who are there to help each other out. So even if you've got a question about a tool, or you're stuck with a challenge or something in your career, put a question out there. You will get a response from someone, and it may help you. And then indeed, if you want to go on the club and help answer some questions of others from the community as well, that's a great way to kind of amplify or reflect on your own experiences and then give back and be helpful. So I very much encourage people to check out club.ministryoftesting.com. Well, folks, there are no others who are putting their hands up right now, which is absolutely fine. Oh, Manish, go for it.
Okay. I mean, since nobody was raising their hand, I thought I'll add one more point. So there's this new AI integration with Postman, which is called Postbot. So if anybody who's looking into automating their APIs within Postman, rather than going the Newman road, so they can use this Postbot plugin or capability that comes along, and then it automatically writes tests, right? I mean, if you hit a certain endpoint, and then you can basically chat with it saying, okay, can you add tests to this particular object or this particular scenario? It comes up with these beautiful tests that are easy to understand, easy to read. So it's been a game changer. I mean, it saves you a lot of time rather than going and writing the code manually. You can just type in and ask it, say, write a test for authorization, or write a test for this particular object, for this part of the response. So it will basically give you all those smaller or very minute tests that you can think of.
That sounds super handy, Manish. Yeah, thanks for sharing with the audience today. If it's not on their radar, it sounds like it's worth them checking out if they're using Postman. Very cool indeed. And Postman have a good community that Danny Dainton supports. They've got a good forum going on. So yeah, do go check out Postman's community forum. There's a lot of people on there who can help with your questions, and there's lots of good tips and advice and support there. So yeah, do go check out what Postman are up to. I know from a community perspective, they've got a good thing going on, which I think makes a big difference for tooling. Great. Okay, well, let's remind some folks of a few more things that we've got going on at Ministry of Testing. So yeah, if you want to get access to way more of the catalog here at Ministry of Testing and get yourself discounts on our conferences, and discounts on our certification. So not only do we have a certificate, an essential certificate that's coming very soon, we have live right now some test automation certificates. So we have the foundation, intermediate, and advanced. And we've had a lot of good folks run those, and they've learned a lot. They've shared good feedback with us. So yeah, do go check them out. And that you can get a discount on that with a professional membership, which if you just head over to ministryoftesting.com/membership, you can find out a bit more about what else you get when you become a professional member. We also have, as part of your membership, testing trends. So we've been running trends, like running polls with the community maybe for a couple of months now. And we have people in the community reflect on the results of those polls and do an analysis on the data that's presented to them. And there's loads of good stuff coming through, and we are putting out lots of trends. So for example, Mirza Sizek, I think just today this one went live. The title is Brave Enough to Release Software on a Friday. Should we release on Fridays or not? Read on to find out what the software test community thinks. We've had AD Stokes analyzing the data about how many ways testers use scripting. We've also had AJ doing an analysis on what software testers are reading in 2024. That was a good one, if you enjoy your books. We had some analysis on testing community of practices and found that 73% of testers meet in a community of practice. And there's a lots of bit more detailed analysis on that data and why it's important. So these trends pieces, they're really useful, because if you're in a conversation with leadership and you need something to back you up, you're trying to present a case for a certain thing, you can pull out one of these trends articles and go, hey, you know, we've got some data here from the wider community outside of our company. Here are the things that the community is saying. You know, perhaps we should follow this trend, or perhaps we should not follow this trend. It gives you real insight and clout to have good conversations with people in your company and to support your efforts when it comes to implementing change. So yeah, do go check out trends. It's just as soon as you go to ministryoftesting.com, it's in the header at the top. You've got Learn, Events, Trends, Radar, Club, Pro. Just tap on Trends and get stuck in. And that is available exclusively to our professional members. Okay, folks. Well, I reckon we're going to wrap up now. So thank you so much for joining the stage. Ashutosh, Manish, and Izaren, absolutely lovely to hear from the three of you today. I'm very grateful to you, the audience, for tuning in today. Thanks for sticking with us and having a good old listen. If anything is sparked off the back of this, you can come back to it again on the podcast as many times as you like. And also, if you want to start some conversations off the back of this, maybe a LinkedIn post, please do. Start conversations off the back of this, share what was discussed, write it out in the way that you interpret it, and put it out there for others to learn from you. So you kind of like, you know, pass it on, right? If there's something, I mean, there's been loads of good stuff shared. You know, Manish, Ashutosh, and Izaren have shared so much advice and reflections that help kind of get their voice out there and share the good stuff that they've shared today. I'll be grateful for that. Okay, folks, well, thank you so much. And we're going to sign off for today. Do enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week. And we will see you soon. Bye for now.